McKenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning and welcome back to Happy Hour here on K104. We have returned again on a Sunday morning with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and good morning to you all, and good morning to you ladies. How are you?
I'm doing back.
Pretty good.
Yes, it is a welcome back, as we did do a couple of repeats for the last couple of weeks, as we've done in summers in the past. So we are back with a brand new show today. And earlier this week, I noticed, Jonna, that you posted a photo of the top of your building and the roof of your building, and you've got a very cool spot up there with AstroTurf and like a 15-foot tall sunflower.
Yes, we do. You know, and I must say, I will, when looking for little COVID pandemic bright spots, I find the little rooftop at my office to be one, because I've had a rooftop on this office since I bought the building, and ordinarily we enjoy it in the summer a little bit. But since we're all kind of stuck here, and as you guys know, like, we took 2 weeks off for our, quote, summer vacation, but I don't think any of us actually vacationed anywhere, I've been spending a lot of time on that rooftop, and one of my wonderful attorneys planted some sunflowers a couple months ago, and they burst over the weekend, and I'm loving it even more now. So there's a little shiny bright spot in this whole mess.
Yeah, that's a great picture. I mean, it really does look like a comfortable spot, hot or not.
It is. Yeah. I love it hot.
Hot or not. That almost sounds like a game we should play.
Yeah.
Hot or not.
Right. That's right.
Wearing sweatpants for 6 months straight, hot or not.
Yeah. Hey,
wait, don't answer.
Who are you talking about? Are you talking about my pandemic sweatpants?
I'm talking about me and you, bro.
Yeah,
me and you. Me and you both.
I've been doing kind of the same thing with just two pairs of shorts, by the way, since I decided to put the sweatpants away for a little while because of the heat.
Oh, my God. I was doing laundry the other day, putting some things away, and I looked through my, like, two old closets. I'm like, oh, hello, everybody.
Yeah. Hello, right. All my other clothes. No,
yeah,
I
haven't seen you in a long time.
That's right. No, hey, you just need two pairs of shorts, because what you do is you wear one pair, and when you come home, you take that pair, and you hang it over a chair upside down. So you can kind of air out the butt, and then you wear a different pair of shorts the next day, and then you just repeat.
Is that your system? Is that your survival system?
That is my pandemic survival system. That's how I do it, and it also keeps the laundry down.
Frankenberry, you just stole my thunder, because when you and Curly were talking about, you know, your closets full of clothing that you haven't seen all summer, I was just, and how you like your couple of pieces. I was going to say, I can top that. Nope. And then you launched into your upside down short story. And I'm going to take that back. But I will say, I did something very interesting that I've never done before. And that is, I've been living, whenever I've been home, and not at the office, I've been living in this very loose, I'll call it a cami. Carol knows what that is. But for you men who might not know, it's like a flimsy tank top, basically.
Okay.
And it's very comfortable, and it's sort of loose fitting, and you can wear it like without having to wear an undergarment, aka a brassiere, underneath it, and you know, and you don't look like you're falling out all over the place. Anyway, I've been wearing that in all of my free time this summer, which has been a lot because there's nothing to do. And the other day, I pulled it out of the dryer, and one of the straps had ripped in half. And
no.
I was, dang, I really liked it. So what did I do? I tied it together in a knot. I tied it together in a knot and put it back on my body. That's COVID wear for you.
There you go. And you know what the difference is between men and women? You tied it in a knot. My first thought was duct tape.
Jonna, did you tie both sides? Did you, or are you like all sitting cockeyed now with it?
Oh, it's totally cockeyed. Completely cockeyed. And I don't care. Who's going to see me?
Exactly.
That's it.
So, John, I have a question for you. Frankenberry can't weigh in on this.
Okay.
Feel free to comment, but you can't. You don't know from personal experience.
Gotcha.
Especially in the heat, right? We've had some 90 plus degrees and humidity and stuff.
I'd love it.
What feels better, taking the bra off or the mask off?
Oh. Well, that's easy, and this is an unfair question because I spend a lot more time in my bra than I do in a mask.
Okay.
So I definitely have to go with bra.
Okay. But it kind of is like that, right? Like when you pull your mask off, and you're like, I can breathe.
I feel the same way when I take my underwear off.
In the world. Really? because we know Frankenberry from years past that you wear very loose fitting boxers. You're a boxer guy.
I am a boxer guy.
This.
Yes, but you know what? Hey, when you're driving in a car, when you're not using the AC, your butt tends to sweat a little bit.
Oh so, no!
You know, so you definitely can't wait to get those things off.
Because
because things stick.
Oh, God. What time is it?
We still got 10 minutes.
it's like every 5 steps in the heat, you got to keep pulling the back of your pants.
Speaking of heat, one of the things that I think we women can also relate to in this heat, which I happen to love, except for this part, is that it screws up our hair. I don't care what kind of hair you got. You put a little heat and humidity, poof. You don't look anymore. And I know because you have told me, Carol, that you have not seen the inside of salons for a while.
Oh, my God. So this is what I did this past week. For the first time in 6 months, I went and got my hair cut and colored. And I feel like a new woman. I'm still wearing the same old clothes, but my head. And on that note, I need to take a moment to give a shout out. So Sarah Pearl over at Sheer Love does my hair. I know, Jonathan, you're the one that referred me to go. I love her. She's so good at what she does, and she's just a lovely person. And I just love Sheer Love Salon. The whole vibe there is so awesome. So a little quieter this time than usual, you know, but we'll get there. So shout out to Sarah. First of all, I love her. And Kathy Goodall, who owns Sheer Love. Sarah's family had a pretty substantial house fire last week. And I just want to look, I know there's lots of challenging things going on right now. People are having a hard time in many different ways. But should you be in a position and have a desire to want to feel like you're doing good for somebody, there is a GoFundMe page for the Pearl family, P-E-R-L, the Pearl family, organized by Kathy Goodall. If you are so inclined and want to do something to support her family who are currently homeless because of the fire, thank God her parents were safe. They were awake when smelled the smoke. Their generator, they were without power. Their generator caught fire outside and caught the house on fire, and their two dogs are dead. So that part's all wonderful.
Thank God.
So I just wanted to give a shout out, and also that another shout out for Kathy Goodall, who owns Sheer Love, that she's the one that started the GoFundMe for Sarah, who works for her, and they're just all just so lovely. So wanted to put that in there in addition to my hair looking so great.
Yeah, they have Kathy and the whole crew there. You know, like when we've had guests in the past who talk about like a company's mission, right? And what their mission statement is and what their purpose is. Kathy and Sheer Love has always been, in all the years that I've known them over there, her mission is to help people, make people feel good, make people look like she walks the walk. Like her heart is.
She sure does.
She is. And that's true. That's who she truly is. So kudos. And I had no idea. So I'm definitely going to help. That's terrible. That must have been during the hurricane. You know, a lot of people were out. I lost a tree. People were out of power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Internet and all that.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, and I
have no idea.
I can certainly empathize because I've been there when it comes to a fire and losing everything. So.
Yeah,
that is so scary.
Not easy.
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, this pales in comparison, but I actually watched a huge tree in my yard break off and fall over while I watched the whole thing happen. It felt like it was slow motion. And I got to tell you, it didn't come anywhere near me. It came fairly close to my house, but it's scary. Like, that kind of stuff is just scary. And you don't know which way to run. It's thank God everybody's okay, though, for her family.
Yep.
Yeah, that is definitely the important thing.
Yeah, yep. Awful.
Any new animal news over there on Spillboard Beach?
Oh, I actually did. You know what? I've got something.
You have a sign out front, Frankenberry, that says Spillboard Beach.
I did not know that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do. It's sort of tongue-in-cheek. I have a not-fun animal story. Listen, we've talked about this basically all summer since I am focused here more. There's just a lot more strange stuff to notice. Well, this can only happen to me, too. The other day, I have a small safe in my house for important stuff, and occasionally there could be a little bit of cash in there, but like important papers and passport and stuff like that. And I actually had to go look for one of these important papers the other day. And I opened it. So I don't go into safe very often. You know, it's not like I need to be in there every day. I opened my small safe, and immediately I see some bird seed. Now, I promise you, I don't store bird seed in my safe. And then the next thing I see, yes, I'm serious. So, and it's in a dark area, so I couldn't really see inside. And I stick my hand in there, and a lot of the important papers and stuff that I have in there, I have it enclosed in like a Ziploc bag, just, you know, keep it a little waterproof in case anything happens, whatever. So I put my hand in there, I pull out a Ziploc bag, and it had a hole chewed in the bottom of it, and it was almost stuffed to the brim, and I'm not exaggerating. I took a picture. I'll show you guys. It was stuffed to the brim with mounds and mounds of house insulation because my house is old and has the old pink fuzzy insulation in it. So somehow, and then I pulled out some envelopes, and the envelopes are chewed. There was some money that was chewed.
What?
And I got this colossal mess inside my locked safe. And I just started ripping the whole thing apart. And apparently, from what I was able to put together, either a family of or a mouse got inside my safe through the... the safe has a couple of small holes where you would bolt it to a wall, and if you're a robber, please don't come and rob me. It's not bolted to the wall. And they entered through one of those small holes. How they got all that insulation in there, during the break, I'm going to text you the picture. It's beyond me. Guys, it was as big as the cotton candy that you get at the fair.
I'm not kidding.
Now, those are some industrious little mice, man. That's...
It was unbelievable. So I had to clean the whole thing out. Now, you know, you guys know me. In the past, I've had little varmint problems, and I'll be like, and I hire someone for $500 to gently relocate them to a farm. Like, please come and catch my little mouse and take it for a ride. Now I'm like, that's it. I want traps. I want traps that snap. I want a little guilty, a little mouse guilty. I don't care. Get him out of my house. They're eating my money. This mouse ate money inside a safe.
Now, personally, I'm kind of proud of the mice because that's a pretty nice job. Seriously, they found a little spot. They said, we're moving in, and they, you know, they brought their own stuffing for their furniture. And like I said, industrious little fellas and gals, so good for them.
How many times I got to tell you?
that's a flimsy right?
And I'm picturing two things right now. I'm picturing like all these little mice looking over their shoulders left and right, wearing little burglar masks, right? When they go in and out, and you calling the police to report a mouse burglar, and they'll be like, "I'm sorry, a house burglar? No."
Now what I'm picturing is little mama mouse explaining to the children how they've been evicted.
Oh yeah. They were evicted.
And also
Jonna
reaching her bare hand in there to feel around before realizing what was going on.
And Jonna, if it makes you feel any better, I know they've eaten your cash, but I had, after I had left Pittsburgh and I moved back to New York for a little bit, kind of restart things years ago, I had stored some of my stuff in a spot at my aunt and uncle's house. Well, it was a spot that apparently mice got into, and they're big fans of eating Pittsburgh Pirate hats. And also making homes inside of Pittsburgh Pirate hats.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've made homes inside some of my expensive fur-lined boots. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you do have better stuff than I do. Fur-lined boots and cool dark saves. All I got is pirate hats.
Those are your
treasures. There's no sameness. I just sent you guys a couple of photos of the evidence, and I did plug up the holes in my little safe, but that one was just a new one. And for some reason, they love this installation because on the beautiful Christmas tree that you, Carol, and Amy surprised me with a few years back now, I think last year when I pulled it out of storage, it was filled in the inside with little remnants of pink insulation.
Oh, wow. So, no, they know how much you like the color pink, so they're just kind of trying to give it a little pop of color. Oh, my gosh. We're talking to somebody really cool today who has been on the show once before. It was a few years ago, I think 3 years ago when her book first came out. Liana Silver, really, really cool, beautiful, intuitive, insightful person. She's the author of Feminine Genius, The Provocative Path to Waking Up and Turning on the Wisdom of Being a Woman. And one of the things we're going to kind of angle this conversation is something I have learned to come to believe is when we have these shadows in ourselves or the dark, you know, our dark places that we think we want to avoid or be ashamed of, she comes along and says, no, you want to navigate through there because there's wisdom there, there's freedom there, there's, you can take that and alchemize it into good and into gold, she goes on to say. So she's super cool, super smart, and when we come back, we will be talking to Liana Silver, author of Feminine Genius.
All right, that sounds good. You are listening to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci, and we will be back in just a few with our guests, so please stick around.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And we're back here on Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself in our second segment, as you always know, as features our fantastic guest, and we have another one today, and Carol has the introductions for us.
Yeah, so I'm admittedly a bit of a Liana Silver groupie. I have read her book, Feminine Genius, multiple times. It's probably, besides my own books, the number one book I recommend to other women. I love the wisdom in this book. I love her style. There's so much love within her writing, and it's just, she's just gifted. So she is, Liana Silver is a coach, she's a teacher and a speaker who helps women find the full expression of their feminine strength in work, love, and life. Her offerings include a mentorship program, Woman, the Embodiment Experience, and her online course, Ignite Your Feminine Genius. She also dances, paints, and makes home with her husband and son. Her website is Liana, L-I-Y-A-N-A, silver.com. We'll give that out again at the end of the interview, and I'm sure if she has any updates or new programs, we'll talk about that as well. You can Google her because she's also beautiful, doesn't hurt, in addition to being brilliant. So welcome back again to Happy Hour, Liana Silver. We're so happy to have you.
I'm so glad to be back. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So here's what I would like to do. It's been a while since we spoke with you, a couple of years, I think. I would love for you to give us a big picture of feminine genius. What's the backstory of you? You're a little bit of your history, what you discovered, and what made you want to write this book.
Goodness. So the book came out in 2017, and I'm just about, admittedly, taking a long time, just about ready with the audiobook version. And I wrote it to help women recover our self-worth, to recognize our self-trust, and to really rest in our divinity. And I wouldn't be interested in those things if I didn't think that they were hard won by most women, and if they didn't, you know, they weren't a hard one for me in my life. I grew up very unusual. My parents consciously joined the counterculture of the 1960s and moved very close to a spiritual center in northern New Mexico. So I grew up with a tremendous amount of out-of-the-box thinking and critical thinking and, you know, on the fringes of normal life. And I just couldn't wait to get into normal life. I just wanted to have, you know, go to prom and be a normal kid. So even though I had all that, the conventional cultural influences did absolutely influence me. And my early path was in dance, and I feel like that was a concentrated dose of what most of us get, just in dominant culture, around messages we get about how to be okay, how to be valuable, whether or not we can trust ourselves. And I got the message, you know, the thinner the better. Definitely be pretty, be tough, but don't be domineering. And I think those are messages that everyone gets, and it was just a more concentrated dose in that world. And throughout that career, and then as I transitioned into coaching, I remember this one moment where one of my mentors responded to a question. I raised my hand in class back when, I don't know if you remember, when people used to gather in classrooms. And, So I raised my hand, and I just was talking about what I felt like was a war with myself. Because you can't try to be thin, 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 or pretty, or pleasing, or tough. You just can't try to be those things without bashing certain aspects of yourself. And really trashing your own self-trust and having a warped sense of your value. And he turned to me and he said, well, when you're at war with yourself and you win, who loses? And
I will never forget that line from your book. And honestly, Leon, and this is why I think one of the reasons your work is so important, is I think all of us, in some respects, are somehow at war with ourselves, our past, or our situation. But you come at it with, we got to stop this war within ourselves, because that's the source of your wisdom, the source of your strength. And I think we've come to a time where we keep looking outside of ourselves. Who else has the answer? Who do I have to follow? Who do I have to read? Who do I have to listen to figure it out? And you come along and say, okay, I've got some words to say, but I'm going to point you somewhere else to get your answers.
Yes, exactly. You know, this is a radical, controversial path to say you don't need a middleman. You don't need to follow somebody. You don't need a guru. You have what you need inside you. And I mean, obviously that's a message we all hear, but that is, it is a path for the, you cannot be faint of heart to have this path, because exactly as you said, there's parts of us that we've been warring against. Our feelings and emotions, things that we perceive are weak, our own intuitive little instinctual nudges. And then what has to happen if you call off the war is you have to sit down at the peace table with those parts that you have assumed only have bad intentions for you or are going to take you down in some way. So this is a radical, strong path, and it absolutely does bring us into more wholeness and self-love, and you know, kind of just a a more joyful way to walk through life.
You say, Liana, in your book that your mind is not the smartest thing about you.
So we have this message that anything to do with quote-unquote femininity is weak or dumb or flaky, you know, and...
Or shameful.
Or shameful. And so, you know, you went into a business meeting and you said, I don't want to do X, Y, or Z because I just have this feeling in the pit of my stomach that it's going to be a bad idea. They're like, no, that would be super hard, depending on the culture of your team or your workplace. So I'll tell the story. I think I, speaking of using intuitive nudges for work-related things, so I interviewed a woman named Susie Batise, and she is the founder of Poopery, which you might know. It's a bathroom spray. Yeah. She's an incredible woman, bright light. And she told me the story of how she came up with it. So she, you know, so I think her brother-in-law came out of the bathroom and was like, oh, I wish someone could invent a spray to stop bathroom odor. And she just had this feeling in her belly, in her body, of like, huh, I think I can do that. And she had a background in essential oils, et cetera. And so she just noticed this aliveness, this kind of confirmation, some kind of feeling in her body, and started going for it. She created this product. So down the line, I think that they were debt-free within the first 3 months of business. This company is valued at $500 million. When I spoke to her a couple years ago, who knows what it is now?
Wow.
$500 million. That's how she founded the idea. Every moment along the way, she'd be like, huh, should I sign this agreement with China? No. I notice my stomach hurts every time I get on the phone with one of their agents. Like, forget it. Wiping away this couple million-dollar contract. No. Not getting on the plane. Not signing the contract. All on her intuition. And this is just one story, you know. So I believe, what is that? What is the intelligence of her body and her feelings that says, no, this is right or this is wrong for the company that I'm building?
I love that so much. And that's something I have in the last few years really cultivated, not only cultivated, because it's always there. It's trusting it. And Jana, I know specifically, at least one time, I think saved her own life by trusting that feeling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now,
go ahead.
Well,
sorry.
So in that situation, well, I wanted to hear how you saved your life, but let's just say, so on paper, right, our logical mind says, sign the damn contract with China. This is huge. Right? We believe in R&D and profit and loss statements and the logical abilities of our mind. And your question was, is this the smartest part of ourselves? And I don't think we need to throw away our logic. But I think if we also have on board our intuitive intelligence, we are tapped into a source that knows what's best for our bodies and the things that we care about and we love. Somehow the body knows. And even Einstein, if you look at his some of his writings, who is the picture of intellectual and logical intelligence, right? But he came up with his theories, and he pierced the veil of what is possible, and he'll say it. It's intuitive intelligence. I wouldn't have been able to figure this out if I wasn't kind of listening to these feelings and nudges of my body.
Leona, I have a question for you because I am a strong believer as Carolyn, and so is Carol. And we also have a couple other friends who would, you know, I'm sure they're going to love this conversation. Intuition is incredible. And to me, and the older I get, the more I trust my own intuition because it's one of those things, to me, it feels like magic. And when something feels like magic, you're like, oh, well, maybe I'm just weird. Maybe I shouldn't be trusting this. I'm getting this feeling. Is intuition something... I mean, we're not born with it. I think I feel like it develops through living, or are we born with it? Why does intuition always feel so magic when it actually is something that you really can rely on?
Such a great question. So I would define intuition as direct knowing beyond or before the need for conscious reasoning. Direct knowing. You know.
Ooh.
You just know something about it.
Oh, I just got
goosebumps. Yeah. I think 100% it's hardwired in. I do think some people are going to have more of a natural channel or talent with it. And the thing about it is also developed, I think. And it's also developed because of the times we listened to it and it worked, and the times when we listened to it and it didn't work, and the times we didn't listen to it. And then we look back and we go, oh, what a mess I made because I didn't listen to it. All that's valid. And I think it hones and refines our intuition.
So two things I want to make sure we cover with you. I'll talk to you all day. Is what's the starting point? Someone's listening right now and say, wait a minute, you know, if I think about it, there's been a couple of times my gut told me this and I didn't listen. So I want your advice as the starting point for somebody who wants to begin cultivating that connection with their and trust with their intuition. That's part one. Part B, I do want to talk, because there's so much we have going on right now about with stress, trauma, and fear, and you help people navigate those feelings in a way that you take, like, you call it like changing lead into gold, like alchemizing those things. Don't fear them, use them. So, two-part question.
Great. So, let's see. Where I recommend starting is, I feel like we all really know what that direct knowing feels like for us. And at the same time, we can second guess it and say, but wait a minute, was that fear? Was that anxiety? Was that, you know, me overthinking things? So I do want to say that I feel like there's a process of discerning which voice is speaking. Is it the voice of fear? Is it the voice of intuition? And it gets a lot clearer and easier as you go. So I'll describe briefly this exercise, where there's a specific way your intuition, you sense it, or it speaks to you, or you hear it, whatever it is, however it communicates to you. So what I'll do often is I'll say, okay, do this little exercise. And ask yourself a series of questions that you know the answer is yes to. And then after you ask the question, you just put your attention on your body and probably around your gut, right? There's a reason we say trust our gut. So right around your belly, pelvis area. And then you go, huh, what did I feel when I asked myself that question? And where did I feel it exactly? Now, for some of us, that's second nature, and some of us, that would be unusual. We're not used to paying attention to our body. So let's just imagine, you know, you went into a doctor's office, and they said, okay, I want to hear about your pain in your abdomen. Don't point to it, but tell me where it is and what it feels like. Right? You would be like, it feels sharp, it feels dull, it feels contractive, it feels cool, it feels warm, and I feel it right below my belly button, kind of like that. So you ask yourself a series of questions that you already know the answer is yes to. Is my name Liana? Or is my name Carol? The answer is yes. Yes, that's my name. Do I love? And then you insert someone or something that you love. Do I feel confident when you insert something you feel confident in. And then you just, after each question, you observe, what did I feel? Where did I feel it? And then you go, huh, what was the similarities between each of the answers I got? Because the feeling that I felt and where I felt it is the way that my body says yes. That is an intuitive yes. That's how it is. And then you can do the same for no. And you just ask yourself a series of questions. You already know the answer is a definitive no. And the questions I ask.
That is so brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good. Yeah. And then, so I think that there's just one little last instruction, which is sort of two parts. Okay. So keep checking out throughout the day. When do you feel a yes? When do you feel a no? And that's amazing unto itself, because it's a level of awareness that will absolutely change things. And part two, if you can, go for the yeses. Go toward the yeses, or don't go toward the noes. And that's the process of refining intuition. But this is where it starts. This is absolutely the foundation.
Liana, I'm getting goosebumps for everything that you just talked about for the last 3 minutes. I got goosebumps on, but two things I want to say. Number one, when you listen to this show back, you're not going to... I was making fun of Carol before you started on this definition, and nobody caught it, because I have to make fun of Carol every time she asks a smart question. But two, you just inspired another question that I have, and it might... you may have already answered it, but my question is this. What is the relationship between
intuition and the law of attraction?
Oh, great question. Of course it is.
That'll
make a great question.
Don't get them started, please, Liana.
Okay, I feel like there is a relationship there, but I don't know exactly what it is.
I already got them started. Here's how I might answer that. The thing that I feel like they have in common is resonance. So resonance is this incredible thing. And I'm borrowing from music. So if one note or one person singing or playing an instrument is in resonance with another, it sounds good together. And that's because the shape of the sound wave of one is similar shape. They're kind of in a similar shape to each other. And then what happens is the energy amplifies, the sound amplifies, and there's a resonance. And when something is in dissonance, the energy waves of the sound waves they're just not complementary, so there's less energy. So, you know, if you use kind of New Age speak of, like, does that resonate? Sometimes, you know, that's the way we use it. And I think that direct knowing of intuition is that there is a resonance in your body. There is actually a felt sense, whether you hear it or feel it or smell it, who knows what it is, but there is... there's just a match between you and your body and the information coming in. And there's an amplification. And with the law of attraction, resonance attracts resonance, right? When you're resonating at your particular frequency, that is what you will attract. It's not right, wrong, good, bad. It's just, you know, there are some energies that are going to be dissonant to you and some that are going to be resonant. So that's how I'd answer that one. That's a beautiful question.
Oh, thank you.
I'm making fun of John, not you.
I knew that was coming.
But this is what we do. And so we're about, I think, getting to the end of our time with you here for this interview, Liana. And I'd love to have you back again in the future. And congratulations on your book coming out in audio. Jonna can now finally read it, because that's the only way she'll read any book. But
yes,
I feel like
great.
While we didn't totally get into the navigating the dark or running out of time for that, I feel like that trusting your intuition is a path for that. Trusting your intuition and getting in touch with that is one of the ways we can help heal ourselves within and become whole again. One of the things that you say in your book that I think ties into this, you say use this book as a set of coordinates to find your own way home. And then you go on to say it's a process of coming home as well as becoming home. That's like goosebump territory for me. Mm. Like, what more could any person, and I know this book is meant for women, what more could any person want than to feel like they are at home in their own skin and in their own life? And you take that internal path to guide people to find that. Because then no matter what is happening around you, and we're dealing with a lot of chaos and uncertainty right now, to have that sense of being at home within yourself,
yeah,
like you're going to be okay no matter what's going on around you. And that's just a beautiful and powerful thing.
Mm. Well, that's really why I wrote it. You know, I mean, I got to tell you, didn't write it to get rich quick. It's not going to happen. so it is that. It is. I mean, how can we find that wholeness and stillness and peace and joy that we carry around inside us that helps us to navigate? Cool,
right.
Especially now.
Right, exactly. Oh my gosh, you're just, I love you, Liana. So we are wrapping up here with Liana Silver, author of Feminine Genius, The Provocative Path to Waking Up and Turning On the Wisdom of Being a Woman, one of my all-time favorite books. And you all follow this show, you know how much I read. Highly recommend it. Where can people get your book, Liana, and where can they find out more about you and any current courses you have going on?
Absolutely. So that book is sold wherever books are sold. If anybody ever has a chance to support your local independent bookstore, please do. But otherwise, it's everywhere online. I guess everything's online at the moment. Excuse me. My website is lianasilver.com, and I am doing a month of master classes for anybody who does want to get the audiobook. You know, if it's not your thing and you want to get the regular old book, that's
fine, but I just want to go ahead and spend a month with you, and we'll go into the principles and practices in feminine genius and just go a lot deeper. That one is a bit.ly link to make it a little easier. So bit.ly/FG audiobook, Feminine Genius audiobook.
Very good. Liana, thank you so much for the important work that you're doing and for taking the time to talk with us today.
Oh, so good to be with you all. I just feel a lot better about myself and life and what's possible after talking with you.
Oh, wow.
We did good.
Oh, thank you, Liana.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we appreciate you joining us this morning, and I'm sure the audience does as well. And we're not quite done yet, people. Hang with us. This is Happy Hour with Jonna Spilvor and Carol Pesci, and we have segment number 3 on the way.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour this morning here on K104 with Jonna Spilvor and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello. Frankenberry.
Okay.
Oh, God.
We're getting there.
Can we do that again? I want to do over.
Okay. All right. Hold on a sec.
Do it again.
All right. 3, 2, 1. And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilvor and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Frankenberry.
Frankenberry.
And now you guys did it backwards. Okay. That's
it. I thought we did it. Whatever.
So anyway, thanks to Liana Silver, right?
Yeah, I love her. And so not only did the information and eye-opening perspectives in her book Feminine Genius, but she's a beautiful writer. It's almost like listening to a song as you're reading. She's so talented. I just love her.
And she has that background, and you can tell when you speak with her that she just loves what she does, and that's crucial, obviously.
Right, and what powerful advice on how to start cultivating the wisdom of your intuition, and you and I both know, Jonna, because we have cultivated that and listened to it and trust it, and we've gotten to the point where we'll send each other seemingly random texts. Because it's like, yeah, that just came to my gut. I need to tell Jonna this. I need to say this to her. And you do the same thing to me.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I love it because it really does feel like magic to me. And you have to listen to it. If you don't, she touched on something very important, because I know more so than feeling good when I listen to my intuition is that I will feel bad when I'm ignoring it. Like, that's louder to me
in
my body.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, really
exactly. I would agree with you on that.
So that's crazy. Not to do a total 180 here, but I just wanted to make sure. I wanted to, on a separate subject, I wanted to ask you, Carol, if I can, and we can come back to this. Are you still watching Below Deck, Med?
Yes.
Okay. Me too. Do you watch it, Frankenberry, or you're not into Bravo shows?
He's going to laugh.
Sorry. See, now, you saying he's going to laugh did make me laugh, but yes, I was going to laugh.
I know.
Watching Below Deck? Jonna, how long have you known Frankenberry?
I have known you my entire life. But I figured, maybe since you're tapping into your feminine side by drying your sweaty undies upside down on your chair, you might be, I don't know.
Well, now, hold on a second there, lady. How is that tapping into my feminine side by taking my shorts, hanging them upside down to air out the butt so I can wear them 2 days later?
That's
what you do?
Opposite.
Is that what
it's
you do?
It's totally opposite. No.
Okay.
It's totally opposite of your feminine
okay,
side.
Good. Yes. But look.
I was just trying to make a connection.
Now, look.
It didn't work.
One thing you can get perfectly straight, and I'm sure I've mentioned it before, if it is any type of reality television show, I can't even bear with the commercials. So
okay.
No, I am not watching that show.
So why do you ask, Jonna?
All right, because I wanted to complain about it, that's why. And I needed to make sure that at least one of you were watching. So I watch all of Bravo. Essentially, I'm just tuned to Bravo all the time if I'm in front of a television. And one of the shows is Below Deck, and I've noticed when I was watching it this week, one of our friends is also complaining about it on Facebook, but I said to myself, it's turned into, like,
softcore porn. Like, all the storylines are just about who's fucking up. And I'm like, And then I thought, well, wait a minute. Maybe it was always like that, and I'm just noticing it more because, you know, I'm watching it so much. Like, didn't there used to be funner storylines, like people screwing up and, you know, the chef can't cook and the different guests?
Here's what I have to say to that. And you know, I don't watch a whole lot of TV. That is one of my guilty pleasures is Below Deck, both the regular one and the Mediterranean. They didn't create a storyline, the producers. That's just what happened. People were started hooking up, but yeah,
well, you're probably right. So I guess that is what it's really like on one of these boats, which is kind of skeeved me out because now, if, let's say we ever do a girls trip on one of these mega yachts, I'm constantly going to be worried about, you know, that.
Jonna,
you know, their bunks are a little close to the kitchen. I'm just saying. I don't know. It's like keeping me out.
Wouldn't it kind of depend on the guest list of whatever event you're going to, or if it's something that you hired yourself? I don't think it would be a concern if you know everybody that's going on the boat.
No, the crew.
The crew
hooks up.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, just, you know, stay away from that fifth margarita.
You know, they're not very discreet, for crying out loud.
Well, you are out in the middle of the ocean, so it's not like you got a lot of eyeballs on you.
That's true. Well, I am trying to find...
Right.
Yeah, and that's it. The cameramen are always like, you know, following them. I am curious to find out. We should look this up. How much it would be, like how much one of those 3-day excursions cost. I'm just really curious.
I don't know, but they tip $20,000 for two nights, so I can't imagine what it costs to book the freaking charter to begin with.
Yeah, wow. $20,000 tip? Holy cow.
Yes, for a two-night cruise.
Times that.
That's true.
Take that to be the 20%?
Like 10 people.
If that's 20%, what are you talking? $400,000?
No, you'd be talking $100,000.
$100,000.
Okay, sorry.
For a weekend.
Yeah, math in my head.
Which I doubt
bad
it's that
idea.
Much. But, yeah.
But then if you have 10 people...
Right.
Huh, that's interesting. That's got to be Googleable, I guess.
Googleable.
There's a new word for the week. Thank you, Jonna.
Googleable.
Yeah. You're welcome.
That's got to be Googleable. No, watching anything right now, I'm watching the second season of The Alienist on TNT, and I'm looking forward to season number 2 of Carnival Row, which I will be streaming very soon.
Oh, all right. Okay. We can talk about that next week.
Yes.
On that note.
Yes, I will watch a couple of episodes. Well, the new season of The Alienist is great. So, but anyway, yes, ladies, thank you. It was nice to get back and do another show. And we will be back again with a brand new one next week as well. Thanks to Liana Silver for joining us today. And, of course, as always, thanks to you all for joining us and listening in. This has been Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbohr and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry. Have a good week. And please have a safe week. Be careful. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbohr and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.